Time to recap McCook City Council meeting number 2 for the month of September in our studios this morning. City Manager Nate Schneider, how you doing?
I'm good. How you doing, Rich?
Doing good.
Good.
Nate's a little low this morning. His fantasy running back football, Nick Chubb, I think he's done for the career, maybe.
Yeah. Ooh, boy. I couldn't even watch it. I was hanging out with my daughter and son-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw their reaction when they saw the injury. I'm like, I just can't do it. So
nasty.
Yeah. I try to avoid looking at those. Chief Harpham every once in a while will bring something down for me to take a look at. And
right.
I try to avert my eyes so I can't see what's going on.
But Marilinda Taylor is here, the birthday girl.
Good morning.
You had a good birthday, didn't you?
I had a wonderful birthday. Yes, I did.
You got spoiled rotten that day.
I did.
Oh, that's good. Good to hear.
Yes.
We got a lot to get to on this agenda, don't we?
We do.
Lot to get to. Let's start first. Announcements, recognitions, anything there?
Nothing last night.
Public hearings regarding redevelopment plan amendment for the city of McCook.
And this is an exciting project. We have one of our own that is wanting to expand the services that they provide, Elevate Wellness. Emily Young filed an application for TIF consideration for a project that she has, which would be located just north of the golf course on J Street. That area is in a blighted area. It's in redevelopment area number 3. She's talking about building a new facility that would house additional services that she's not able to actually accommodate at this point in time, due to some restrictions as far as the building size that she's currently in. And so what she is proposing is building a new facility there. There's going to be private investment. The total cost of the build-out is estimated to be around $1.4 million approximately. There is public work that will need to be done as well, too, that qualifies, I guess, under the Development Act that the state of Nebraska has implemented. So there's about $239,000 worth of TIF-eligible expenses. There is a bond that was issued in that amount last night by the council. There'll be approximately $1.2 million of private investment by Emily Young. This is just a small piece of the puzzle, but a big piece of the puzzle to make it work. You know, in order for TIF to be granted, the developer has to meet the but-for test. And I was actually talking to somebody yesterday about what that means. And it's exactly what it says, you know, but-for tax increment financing, this project won't occur. And based upon, you know, the conversations that we had with Emily, it was clear that TIF is an important part of this. And so I would encourage people. I had a really good conversation with somebody yesterday. There is a citizen that had some questions about TIF. If anybody ever has questions about TIF, feel free to give me a phone call. You know, and I'd be happy to sit down and go through it with you. You know, I think once you kind of see how it works in action, I think that it makes a lot more sense. But it's a word that kind of gets thrown out there, or an acronym that gets thrown out there, and sometimes we forget that we haven't really talked to everyone about it. And so I would encourage people, if you have questions about TIF, just to give us a call. So anyway, last night the redevelopment plan was passed by the CDA and the council. And then the redevelopment contract, which established the responsibilities of both the city of McCook and the CDA, as well as Emily Young, that was passed as well, too. The TIF period will be a 15-year TIF period. It's estimated that there's going to be about $24,000 a year that's going to be generated in TIF. There are certain requirements that Emily's going to have to follow along with. You know, you can't protest any tax valuation increases, because it's important that tax valuation at least meet that minimum number, so that way we generate what we think we're going to generate on the TIF side. Also, there can't be an assignment of it without actually getting permission from the city council and the CDA. There's some other responsibilities that she has as well, too, as far as notifications and whatnot. On our end, we're just promising that during the course of the next few years, you know, while the contract's in place, we are going to make sure that incremental shift goes towards paying any public debt that qualifies. We aren't required to pay any more than that. If there's
shortfall as far as what that assessed valuation comes in at, that'll be the responsibility of the developer to make that up. So it's kind of a standard contract. We've done a few of these here recently, but it's always kind of exciting. And one of the things that I talked about with the gentleman yesterday when we were discussing TIF, you look at all the projects that we've done. I don't recall prior in time to tax increment financing being utilized on a fairly regular basis, having as many projects as we've had. We've really, really kind of gotten to the point now where I think that we're starting to see some bang for our buck. And all these properties are going to go back on the tax roll here at the expiration of whatever that contract period is, whether it's 10 years or 15 years, which will increase the valuation from whatever that unimproved value is to what the improved value is. And in some cases, like Valmont, it's a very significant amount. In some cases, you may be talking, $1 million, which to me is a significant amount, but a little bit smaller than a Valmont. But those are all important valuation increases when you start talking about trying to grow the pie bigger to hopefully make it so the taxpayers have less burden put on their shoulders. And that's an area that we've been looking at trying to expand. So we have the Hague Dental Office out there, and we split out another lot not too long ago. And I know that there are designs for maybe future development out there. And so we're going to keep on moving and try to get that grown as best we possibly can.
So everything's to go. It was approved and everything's ready to go.
Yeah.
Public hearing considering the 2024 McCook Plan of Street Improvements.
Streets will be doing improving on and drainage, and we had some people come and speak to that a little bit that have drainage problems in their area, and we are going to be taking a look at fixing all of that area.
All right, timetable on this?
We've got a slew of projects that we have on our 1 year plan. As far as normal projects that the city will account for through the funds that we have, we've got a West D Street and a West C Street project that we're going to do a full asphalt reclamation project on. And then also the projects that we've talked about here recently, North Point, we've got S and 9th Street included in this year's budget. That would be funded by TIF. MEDC is going to take the lead on that. West C Street, which is going to be funded by Southwest Public Health Department. We've got the Business Park Phase 2 Street project, which will be funded by TIF. Again, MEDC will take the lead on that. And then, like Mayor Taylor said, we've got the West 14th Street project, which is a street project and a drainage project. We actually had a chance at the staff level to meet with the property owners. And this would be property owners that have lots between West O Street and West Q Street, and then West 17th Street and East Fair Acres. And we just kind of talked about some of the drainage issues that they've experienced over the past few years, and then also what we need to do and how the improvement district system works. And hand in hand, you've got to do this with both a street improvement district and a drainage improvement district. So we talked about what that process is. We actually did a street improvement district petition. And when I say we, there were some petitioners in that area that did a petition in 2012, and it failed because you have to have over 50% of the property owners that are adjacent to the street petition in favor of it, and we had less than 50%. I think that may change this time around. I think that there are people that are really starting to kind of see some of the issues that we have out there. And it's bigger than just those properties that are on West 14th Street, because the drainage actually starts coming from West 17th Street. And Greg Wolford is going to take a look and see if there is an additional land that maybe, is part of that drainage district area. But for sure, we know that everything west or east of West 17th Street is contributing to the drainage issues to the east, and it all slopes downhill. And I know out here at the radio station, I imagine when you see those big rains and you're coming into work on Q Street, you can see how everything kind of accumulates at the bottom of Q Street. That is what we're trying to fix. That's what we're trying to resolve by building out a street, by maybe adding some detention facilities or whatever on the drainage side. We think that we can kind of quell some of that, but it takes a little bit of time to get to that point. So right now, Greg Wolford is engineering everything out. He's coming up with a plan. We've got some numbers already on the street side, but the drainage side is a little bit more complicated just because we can't figure out quite yet exactly what's going to be included in there. And then when we do, we got to come up with a plan as far as trying to slow some of that rain down. So,
consent agenda had a few items. Is there anything pulled for discussion?
No, we didn't pull anything last night for discussion on the consent agenda. Everything went right through. We approved a memorandum of understanding, temporarily modifying the firefighters and lieutenants' collective bargaining agreements. But everything there was approved.
Okay. Regular agenda, and here we go, third and final reading of the budget.
Yes, budget season is, I would say it's over, but we have the pink card meeting tonight, so it's not over. We always read everything on three readings. We also have a work session with the council at the very beginning of August to go through our initial findings. Everything's kind of a work in progress until we get to the third reading. And even then, adjustments can be made. That would be done through a levy modification. We spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to make this budget work. And it's no secret. Everybody is impacted by inflation. The city is no different than anybody else. Last year, we were able to go ahead and keep growth under 2%, but in doing so, we were using all of our ARPA funds and whatnot to try to make sure that we were able to keep up with the equipment and capital outlay that we needed to purchase and needed to provide and projects that we needed to do. This year, there are no ARPA funds, and there's definitely equipment that we need to make sure that we're accounting for. One of the things that we were very cognizant of was we wanted to make sure that we kept the burden off the taxpayer as much as possible. So, if there were positions that had gone unfilled for a period of time that we couldn't get filled, we removed them. There were two positions that we removed because we just couldn't get them filled. But we also had to make sure that we were accounting for inflationary forces as they relate to our employees. And so we had to make wage adjustments because we know that other communities have made similar adjustments, and that's what we get compared to. So we had to take that into account. We had some big bump ups as far as expenses. We know that our insurance premium is going up. Our wind and hail deductible has skyrocketed over the course of the past few years. And Leanne was projecting about a 30% jump up. I was kind of scoffing at that. I was like, there's no way. It was right around 26%. So she was almost dead on. Fuel is something that we reduced down, and now we're kind of having second thoughts about those reductions. It's still higher than it was, in years past, but hopefully we'll be okay there. And we talk about the price of food over at the senior center and what that's done over the years. It's just skyrocketed. Everything that we have this year, when we started the budget process, I sat down with all the department heads and Leanne, and we were going through each of the line items trying to figure out where we were at. And I would say probably a third of the line items had increases, which I've never seen before. But that's because of the inflation and the fact that we tried very hard to hold everything for as long as we possibly can. But at some point in time, you just can't continue to operate by reducing and reducing and reducing, because then you start sacrificing service and your ability to provide. And that's kind of what we found. And the other thing is, moving forward, we need to make sure that we are able to hire good people. And we need to be attractive to potential hirees. We had conversations during the budget process. I know that Chief Smith had made comments about the fact that, hey, you know what? We have gone hiring periods where nobody applies for a police department position. And I think that three out of the last four times we did that, we've had no applicants. And it's not just police and certified officers. I know on the utility side, we've had situations where we might have had one or two applicants and that was it. And you hope that you get qualified people out of those one or two people. Otherwise, you have to go back in and re-advertise. Somehow, we got to make sure that we keep on filling these positions. And really, the only way that we can do that is to be competitive. And so that's been built into this as well, too. But like I said, we took out a couple of positions that we knew that we couldn't fill, which took probably about $140,000 out of the budget. by the time that we got done with all the capital outlay requests, Leanne and I probably wiped away $3 million of capital outlay requests, probably a little bit more. And the only capital outlay that we purchased this year was out of the general fund and not reserve fund. Out of the general fund was a police cruiser, and that's jumped up from $40,000 to $70,000 in the last 3 years. We purchased a used vehicle for the administration. That gets used by everyone. So if we've got people that are going out of town for a seminar or a conference, that's what they utilize. So it's not just our in-town vehicle, it's our out-of-town vehicle. And that was getting a little long in the tooth. And then on the public works side, we purchased a water reel at $10,000, a furnace for the street shop, so when the guys are down there getting ready to plow, they're not freezing their keisters off. That was $6,000. We had a mower deck. We didn't buy a mower. We just bought a deck for a mower this year. Security cameras for parks, because we've had issues with vandalism and whatnot, so we're trying to quell some of that. And that was it. That's what we purchased for capital outlay. So the big items we had to eliminate, and our department heads understood that. But if you don't purchase these items, you're just kicking those problems down the street, and you're going to end up having to address those at a later date and time. So that was the budget this year. It was our best effort to try to account for some of the issues that we've been experiencing nationally and at the state level and local level. We definitely do our best to try to account for you know, what it's going to mean for our taxpayers. We don't take that lightly. And I hope people understand, you know, we're doing the best we can to try to make sure that we are as least intrusive as we possibly can be on a person's pocketbooks.
Linda, any comments, thoughts?
I appreciate all that they've gone through on the budget, because, like you said, the price of gas has gone up extra. There's just so many things that have gone up for all of us. And I know Nate and Leanne, I know the whole city staff worked hard to trim that budget as much as they could, and they did a phenomenal job. So I appreciate it. We're all taxpayers, and there's nothing worse than to have taxes go up, but yet we have to have the amenities. We have to have the police department. We have to have our water department. We have to have all of the amenities that the city of McCook offers. And so it's an important piece. And anybody out there that's listening that thinks they might like to come work for the city of McCook, it is a great opportunity. You know, if you've graduated from high school, or next spring you're looking at graduating, or come to the city of McCook. We've got a lot of wonderful positions, and you know what? It could just be a lifelong experience.
As far as like the employee classification pay plan, that was on third and final reading as well?
Yeah, that was on third and final reading, and that was passed through as well, too. Like I said, there was COLA that was included in there. That's what we wanted to make sure that we added to account for cost of living changes that occurred over this past year. And we use our union contracts, our collective bargaining agreements, kind of as our guides. We've done that for years and years and years. So in times that inflation is under 2%, we try to make sure that we increase it 2%, because that's what one of our collective bargaining agreements has for a minimum. And then on the flip side, our maximum is 4.5%. So that's what we use this year, because cost of living increased from March to March 5.4%, if I remember correctly, which then means that we reduce that number down about a percentage point to try to keep up. But also, as we're finding out, it's hard to keep up when every other community is doing the exact same thing. And one of the things that we know, I mean, I was talking to Chief Smith again about, you know, police department wages, you know, when we did our last wage study, we were ahead of North Platte as far as wages. I think that we were ahead maybe by a couple of dollars. Now the starting wage in North Platte is $6 more than us. I know Holdridge is more than where we're at right now, and they were below us at one point in time. And this is just for the police department. But somehow we've got to make sure that we're attractive and we're bringing people in. I hear it all the time. I had an email over the weekend from somebody that was concerned about a police-related item. And for us to be able to address those things, we've got to make sure that we're staffed appropriately. And the last thing that you want to have is morale issues, people leaving because they're burned out. This summer we were operating at a deficiency, we had to make adjustments to the collective bargaining agreement, but everybody was pretty strapped as far as the amount of time that they were spending, in addition to what they would typically spend at the police department doing their job. And so somehow we've got to try to make our departments as attractive as possible, and wages are an important part of that. We adjusted for COLA this year. We did take out two personnel what we deemed to be unfillable positions. We thought we'd get a COPS grant for two positions. We didn't get that. We held it open for 3 years. Never were able to fill those positions because nobody's applying to be a police officer anymore. And so we eliminated those positions, and we're going to go with what we originally had. So those were the biggest adjustments that we had this year.
And also solid waste collection fees, third and final reading for that as well?
Correct, yes. Yeah. And there will be adjustments on that, again, to account for inflation as well, too.
Already the council comments. Already. Anything last night?
No. Mm-hmm. The council said that they didn't have any comments. It was a meeting of a lot of in and outs.
Sure.
You know, so it was a good meeting.
And I do think yesterday was Chief Smith's last day.
Oh.
And Joel and Linda Smith were there last night, we really appreciated what Joel did with our police department. I told him last week we had his exit interview and final evaluation, and I told him that he did a heck of a job stabilizing and solidifying that police department. And we're in the process of trying to hire somebody, but they've got a high standard they're going to have to live up to. Joel did a fantastic job for McCook, and it was for a short period of time, but it was a huge transition. And he took that job head on and dealt with some really difficult situations, whether it was personnel issues like we were just talking about, integrating the new radio system that's been a head scratcher from the very beginning, and that was an $800,000 upgrade that we did, trying to make sure that we address some of the morale issues. For him, kind of coming in from a completely different agency, there are a lot of eye-opening experiences, but he met everything head on and did a great job. And I think that you can say that he's left the place better than where it was when he came in, and not to say that it was in a bad shape, but he just did a fantastic job, and just very appreciative of what he's done. So he's going to be missed a lot.
What's the latest on is filling that spot?
Yeah, so we're going to declare the vacancy. We added a new civil service member. Dan Stramel was willing to go ahead and serve, and so we're going to have Dan on the Civil Service Commission now. So we met with him last week, kind of went through the ins and outs of the Civil Service Commission. We're going to declare the vacancy. When I say we, the Civil Service declares the vacancy. They'll select a test then for the police chief applicants to take. They're going to decide how they want to rank those tests. Do you have a minimum score? Do you just base it based on ascending, descending order? How do they want to do that? We'll have the tests proctored. There will be interviews that will be graded. They will forward over their slate of candidates to me. And then it's kind of a bifurcated system. So I also then have a say in hiring department heads, and this would be a department head. So they're going to make their selection, and then they're going to give it to me. Then I'm going to conduct interviews. And based upon the two together, we're going to make that selection. And I would expect probably in the next couple of months for that to occur. It's going to take a little bit of time. In the interim, Kevin Hodgson's going to serve as the acting police chief, the interim police chief. Met with him last week and then met with him just briefly yesterday just to make sure that he knows that he has admin support. We're going to do whatever we can to help him. I know the council's supportive of Kevin. And also, I made it very clear that the interim position is an interim position. I want to encourage everybody that's going to qualify to apply for that job. I think that it's important that we have a good slate of candidates and everybody's going to be on equal footing. I try to make sure that, I treat everybody fairly and evenly across the board. And so Looking forward to the process, looking forward to finding our next person. And I think that we've got, I know on the internal side, there will be some good candidates that may be excited to apply. And I think externally, there might be some good candidates that are excited to apply. So I'm looking forward to seeing the applicant pool.
Executive session on strategy session with respect to real estate purchase for the sports complex, anything?
Yeah, no, executive session, so we can't talk too much about it. Just kind of moving forward on that process. So
I see you didn't, for the first time, you didn't have an update on the pool and the...
Right. We didn't do an update on that. On the pool side, we've got the plans that are being reviewed by the state of Nebraska. The state of Nebraska sent out an email to our engineer asking a few questions. I asked the engineer how long he thought it was going to be for him to get back to us. He said probably a few days. So I expect those answers fairly shortly. We had some questions regarding drainage as well, too, that we've been kind of working on internally. Kyle and April over at W Design have been working on that. And so I would expect that's going to be done shortly. I think once those questions are answered, we're going to get the green light from the state, and you're going to start seeing construction. So looking forward to that.
All right. Linda?
We're ready for the construction to begin, and that will be an exciting time. And I want to say today's a great day to be in McCook, Nebraska. Everybody enjoy the day and be nice to someone today.
There you go. And you got a meeting, you said, coming up tonight on?
Yes.
That's the pink card meeting.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yep. At 6 o'clock. So.
All right. Next regular meeting will be coming up on October. Right down at the bottom, the month of October, September, October. What is that?
October 2nd.
October 2nd.
Yep.
Yes. We're into the month of October.
Yes. Wow. Yes. Yep. Halloween's right around the corner.
Halloween, so. Thanksgiving, Christmas.
I know. Oh. Yep. The race is on. That's, we were just talking about that. It's funny. You start looking and seeing Christmas decorations. It seems like it's really early to be thinking Christmas, but I guess we're not that far off.
And those business owners are going to be getting ready for Christmas pretty soon, aren't you?
I know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to it too. It's kind of a fun time of the year. So, and with all the stuff that we have going on, I think it's going to make it kind of enjoyable.
Sure.
I think there's just a lot of stuff, whether it's the chamber, MEDC, you know, lots of different projects, lots of different promotions, lots of different activities. This time of the year is a lot of fun. Heritage Days is right around the corner. I mean, just a lot of neat things going on.